This is Section 5, Security, in the PDH online course, Electrical Engineering Design for Schools. Access Control Scheme. At one time, door locks were access control, then keypads, then swipe cards, and now non-contact cards, very, very similar to RFID if you've been reading the paper. While access control was maturing, perimeter monitoring, intrusion alarms were also maturing and began to overlap. Fire alarms have always been there and also require a pull station and strobe horn at each door. The technology becomes massive at each outside entrance. The following detail was prepared for an industrial assembly plant. The designer wanted to put a TV camera watching the outside of the door also, but the union objected. Now let's see if we can describe this graphic. Obviously, we've got the door. That's what it's all about. The door is fitted with a door switch. The door switch is so that the central security logger knows every time the door is open. If the door is opened at 3:15 in the morning, at least it's recorded that something happened at that time. And you can see who was supposed to be there, who was not supposed to be there. But the door switch, usually a concealed magnetic switch on the swing end of the door, not the hinge end of the door, tells the logger that something happened. We're showing a magnetic lock with release on fail. So if the power goes off, people can still get out of the building. Now, what happens is somebody wants to get in, puts a rock in the door. I mean, every construction site I've ever been to has either a block of wood or a rock blocking the door. So the magnetic lock can't work, and the door switch says it's continuously open. And if anybody cares, they go out and kick the rock out of the way and secure the building again. We're showing a card reader. The card reader, the mag lock, go to a local access control panel. Now, the technology I'm familiar with, there are many types of technology can be used here. The one I like is a distributed scheme where there's a local access control panel that is programmed and knows who's allowed to go in and out that door. If the power goes off in the main building, you don't care. If the data line gets cut to the main building, you don't care. You've got your own standalone local access control panel. Typically, once a day, it's updated. As people get fired, we want to remove their access. As people are added, we add their access, but it won't be there until the next day when the local database is updated. Also, the central can do lockdowns or the fire alarm release and things like that. Also at this door, I mentioned the card reader. That's for permitted entrance. And the card reader gets logged also, and not just that the door opened, but which number it was that was associated with that. Maybe not particularly who was carrying that card. Fire alarm strobe speaker is at the exit door. There's a pull station at the exit door, and there's a watchman's tour switch. This was for an industrial assembly plant, and they use the system where the watchman goes around and connects at each of the prescribed places in order so that he gets his pay at the end of the two-week period. And what you're doing with this is you're logging he came by, and he's supposed to kick the block out of the door so that the door seals right, maybe even rattle on it. I've seen them rattle on it. Now, farther into the building are an IR motion detector. Now again, the door switch tells you when the door is open. The IR motion detector tells you when there's somebody going through it. So this permits us to distinguish between the door blocked open and the door blocked open and people carrying out interesting souvenirs. And beyond that, a TV camera. TV cameras now, one large Midwestern school system bought a bunch of mini dome TV cameras. They paid less than $50 each for them. They're mounting them outside and it's working. They've been in place for 3 years and they haven't had any failure problems with them. They haven't had vandalism problems. These are 3-inch mini dome, little tiny babies. And they're mounting them up high where they're harder to get at. And being black, they aren't real noticeable. I mean, nobody is going to go out of their way. You know the standard shoebox where it sticks out on an arm? Boy, to me, that's an attractive opportunity for throwing things. But these little mini domes, they work and work and work. You got to find something to do with them if you're going to get value out of the mini dome. But putting in the TV camera is not an expensive part of the project. Note, all security access control wiring concealed or in conduit and armor. The security installers really like to stick it into the wall or lay it against the wall. They have not heard of armored cable. You can buy security cable that has a real Husky armor. I mean, something you can't cut with scissors. You probably cut with a side cutting lineman's pliers, but real Husky stuff. They don't like to do that. Obviously, it costs money to buy it, and it costs hours to install it. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, it's commonly installed on garage door openers. You know the new code requirement for garage door openers? You've got to have a pressure switch, so it comes down on somebody's head, it stops. Well, that pressure switch is usually connected up with a piece of this armored cable. It's not terribly expensive, but they are probably right that the labor, and again, they have to have people who are trained to do it, or you're going to throw away a lot of it the first time. Optional narrative. The TV camera appears to operate on 120 volts. In fact, it requires a receptacle and comes with its own wall wart for 12 volts or 24 volts. TV cable may be coax, fiber optic, or Cat6 data. If pan, tilt, zoom are required, that control comes down the coax or data line. No additional cables are required. The infrared motion detector, PIR, is a backup to the door switch. Local access control panel scheme continues to operate with a cut data cable or out-of-service main panel. The access control panel releases the magnetic lock when motion detector signals or if a local push-to-exit button is installed. I mean, you can't stop people from going out. You're supposed to stop people from coming in. But the whole idea of emergency egress is you can't stop people from going out. And by the way, I did a job at a museum, and they have a very interesting concept about stopping people going out, and they really do want to stop people going out. I didn't do security for them. I was doing a power study, but it was very interesting seeing how their minds work. Control logic in the access control panel is programmable. Some doors stay locked unless the fire alarm is pulled. So the fire alarm gets pulled a lot. And I say that from public housing. I did some generator retrofits in public housing. And the door was always wedged open. Because if they let the magnetic locks work, then the residents would pull the fire alarm to let their friends in. So even if there was a guard standing right there, the door was still wedged open. The card reader requests entry from outside. Programming for specific users and specific times of day are common. Fire alarm pole is self-explanatory. Fire alarm notification device is a strobe speaker instead of a strobe horn. There's almost no cost increment, a better life safety system results, and the speaker can be used for public address. The watchman tour switch was part of the fire alarm and standard for this owner. Again, the security system was compromised at the design stage by the elimination of the outside TV camera. I like the idea of seeing them coming and going. If you got a bad guy there, wouldn't it be nice to get two pictures of him? Security, perimeter monitoring or intrusion alarms. Perimeter monitoring is intended to make a record of persons accessing the facility during off hours. It can work in conjunction with access control or be a separate system. Today, it's usually incorporated into the CCTV monitoring system. The motion detector alarms, the TV goes into high-resolution recording at that location. The alarm system records the location and time. The CCTV records the activity, location, and time. Optional narrative. CCTV has matured radically in the last 5 years. Coax and videotape are marks of obsolete systems. I'm helping spend $10 million installing an obsolete system. That's what they want. Analog cameras are limited to about 320 by 240 resolution and require a close-up to identify the suspect. That is, you put a camera behind the cashier that picks up all the front of the store, you cannot identify the person who grabs the cash box and runs. You can see somebody did it. You can see the clothes they're wearing. You get no facial features whatsoever. Digital IP cameras using the data network record a minimum of 640 by 480, are available in 1600 by 1200 at a small incremental price. 1600 by 1200 gives the close-up of the door along with two more close-ups on each side. Cost is one-fifth of a pan-tilt-zoom analog camera. Videotape media deteriorates with use and age. A hard disk drive runs and runs and runs and then dies someday. With only small increment in cost, a RAID storage system can be used, whereby a single drive failure does not lose any data. And usually they're hot swappable. You can put a new drive in at a cost of $100, and the system is back at full capacity, waiting for the next drive to fail. We're talking over 20 years, 30 years. We're not talking about failure in the first 6 months of use. Think $1,200 each for 1,600 by 1,200 cameras. And by the way, this changes day by day. I got a salesman's call yesterday that the price for the 1,600 by 1,200 that I love is down to $600 each. Think $8,000 for 16-channel DVR, sometimes called a network video recorder. And he was saying that's down to $3,000. Now, I haven't seen the proposal yet. This is just salesman talk. Wiring is Cat6 data with a single candle, single cable handling as many cameras at 100 megabits per second. Keep in mind, security's cameras take one or two pictures per second, not continuous motion. So if you divide a second into how many milliseconds it takes to send a picture, you can see you can send a lot of pictures in a second if you just send one picture per camera per second. Security control center. The electrical designer usually brings conduits or cable tray from the remote security devices back to a central monitoring facility. Neither the power nor the HVAC requirements are great for a security control center, but many, many conduits will be entering the space. A ground bus off the power service entrance ground is desirable. Optional narrative. If the electrical designer has partial or full responsibility for the security control center, there are several points to consider: redundancy, ease of use, and flexibility for expansion. It's important to have at least two complete identical consoles. Periodically, one or the other will be out of service. Security is very close to life safety and must be maintained. The two consoles should be separated enough that technicians can get at the sick one while the operator uses the healthy one. It's critical to group controls that are used together. If the operator will invest 90% of his actions in verifying the person at the door and overriding the magnetic lock, then the screen and override control should be adjacent and not require the operator to assume an awkward position to use them. If it is expected that supervisors will regularly want to monitor a particular door or area, provide a separate screen and a chair, or consider a remote feed to a conference room. Browser-based digital video recorders are almost standard today and very, very flexible for remote monitoring. A visit to any existing security control center will reveal that it has grown since first installation, usually in a very ugly way. Provide large and extra raceways from the above ceiling space. Provide large crossover conduits from one side of the room to the other. Provide receptacles at 2-foot intervals to source all the plug strips, which will appear later. Consider an 8-inch or even 12-inch surface raceway around the perimeter of the room. We'll move on to special systems that didn't fit into any of the main categories if you'll join me for the next section.